We are ready.
Good.
Okay, very interesting things here. Very, very interesting. There's the issue that we started talking about of being Oyver Aveira. Just to see if we can plug ourselves back in. We understood that a mitzvah is a reality. And therefore, you can do it. You can do something that exists. You can't do something that doesn't exist. So that's why mitzvah is called you oisei mitzvah. You do the mitzvah. The mitzvah is a real thing, it's a reality. Aveiros. Aveiros are non-reality. You can't do an aveir. You're oiver an aveir. Aveir is a limitation. Aveir is where the Torah tells you this is where the proper reality ends. The person steps off the side of the roof. There's a very good chance he's going to bump his nose. What happened? I didn't mean it. But he jumped off the roof. Sorry. If a person's outside of the limitations, so there's a good possibility that very unpleasant things can happen. And the world is a complicated world. There are very, very extensive developed machinery called Olam Hazeh. It's a very special world. It's a very special creation. And it's full of possibilities. It's full of energies and koiches and all of the powers and all of the realities, all of the every aspect of reality is an opportunity to do mitzvahs, opportunity to come closer to the tachas of the world. But there's always the bottom of the hay. There's always a place to fall out. There are borders. There are lines. And if you cross those lines, you're over there, you crossed, you ended up on the other side. You left existence and you enter non-existence. That can be not so pleasant. So that's Oyver Aveira. That's as far as we got. Right now, we would like to speak about these reality, how Aveiras relate to Olam Hazeh and Olam Habah. And here, we're going to have to get a little complicated. We'll start with the end, Olam Habah itself, real, full class Olam Habah. That should be poshut. For anybody who has a understanding what Olam Habah is all about, that Aveiros don't have what to do in Olam Habah. Olam Habah is pure reality in the absolute unlimited form. It's pure perfection. Every Aveir, every aspect of Aveir, every effect of Aveir is damage, is destruction, is going out of reality, is limitation of perfection. So now we have a problem. As long as we didn't have to deal with Olam Habah, it was just a question of a record sheet, and you get good points and bad points. And the good points, maybe you get handed all kinds of lollipops or rochnizik lollipops. And if you're a bad boy, you get the spanking. So we can live with that. Yeah, we're used to that. That's the way we were brought up when we were two. I mean, it's fine. And then we hope like that in the Cheshvan Klali it'll be worth it. So that's good as long as you're in the world of limitations. In the world of limitations, you can have a little of this and a little of that. And this could be kacha kacha. And, you know, I tried, didn't really make it, but at least I tried. And all kinds of other type of bidyevitz. But there's one thing that there's no bidyevitz in. There's one thing that there's no room for maneuver. There's a concept called shleimus, perfection. Perfection is very, very limitless. Because if it's limited, then it's not perfection. So what's going to be? On the surface, because of this and similar type problems, a person would get the impression that only the extreme, rare, perfect individual will make it to Olam Habah. And this is why they are dumb and some of the gears they have in again in every perek of Pirkei Avos again. Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek Olam Habah. that. Don't make that mistake. You're a Jew. You're part of Klal Yisrael. Yesh lecha chel. So you can't give up so fast. So you mean so then it's going to be lollipops and spankings? No. Only perfection. If only perfection, how do I get in? I'm not perfect. They won't let us off the hook here. You're going to have to deal with both of these concepts simultaneously. Okay. That chelik in olam haba, that if you don't get there, if you're not eligible for that, you haven't gotten anywhere. If a person... The worst punishment a person can have is that his schar should be received in olam hazeh. If he's eliminated from olam haba, so whatever schar is coming him is likened to what the Gemara says, "Ein kolish bochum makapech schar kol beria." Even somebody not roi for olam haba, the Baruch Hashem gives schar to anybody who deserves it, even dogs. The dogs left Klal Yisrael, left Eretz Mitzrayim. They didn't bark. So we throw them bones. That type of schar, the schar of getting thrown a big bone, a little bone. You walk for, if your name is Sancher, you walk a couple of feet, look for Shemayim, you may get Malchus in the whole world for that. That schar is called dog schar. Because it's equivalent, it's the same musuk of what they hand out to dogs. It's all within the terms of the limitations of olam hazeh. Or at least limitations even beyond olam hazeh. There's a middle ground called olam haneshamos, Gan Eden. All of our grandfathers, fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, anybody who's no longer living, right, is not in olam haba. There are two way stations that people can go to after they leave this world, before we arrive at olam haba. There's a good place, and there's not such a good place. There's a good place called Gan Eden. Excuse me, olam haneshamos. And there's another chelik of that place called Ganon. And that's where everybody is, either here or there. Or sometimes a little bit here and then go to Gan Eden. Most of the time. That's not olam haba yet. That's not olam haba. It's not quite olam hazeh either. But relative to olam hazeh, relative to olam haba, to olam hazeh. Relative to olam hazeh, to olam haba. Meaning, relative to the terms of avodah, there's no more avodah. It's neshamas without gufim, there's no avodah, there's no mitzvahs. Now you only receive what you deserve. You can't deserve anymore. But relative to the absolute perfection of olam haba, the world of perfection, the world above chet, the world above all imperfection, all limitations, it's also a limited world. It's a world that deals with chet. I mean, chet is, you know, Gehenim is like very much dealing with chet. Like head on. That's what it's all about. It only exists to the degree that a person did a chet. When a person does a chet, he's here munching on a non-kosher candy bar. As a malach, there's a log on there. Yeah. It would be that easy. You know? It would be just a log, but it's not. This is the middle world. Why did it have to be world so complicated? Olam hazeh, olam haba, and something in the middle. Reason, one of the reasons, there are other reasons, but one of the main reasons is to answer this paradox that we're dealing with. Everybody's got to make it to olam haba. Call yourself Yerushalayim Chedek olam haba. Bal yidach v'min anidach, the Baruch Hashem was mevtiach lam. That everybody's going to make it. Now there's no room in olam haba for aveiros. And this world, there are some people who leave perfect. But it's not Kol Yisrael. It may be Yechidei school. So what are we going to do with everybody else? So there's this middle world. The Baruch Hashem has an opportunity to work things out. to be able to create imperfection, take it. He has this machine where you put in imperfect things and then come out the other side perfect. And that machine has two parts to it. Pleasant part and unpleasant part. On the most part, first you have to go through the unpleasant part. He has a washing machine, a very big washing machine that uses hot water. Very strong materials that can clean the shamas. And the shamas can come in dirty and they come out clean. That washing machine is called Gehenna. And then he has a Beit HaVera'ah, where Olam HaNeshama is not just a waiting place. It's a place where, based on the ma'asim that you did in Olam HaZeh, a person can develop. You can't do new things. You can't earn anything. But what you did, your mitzvahs in Olam HaZeh, which were not able to come into effect in Olam HaZeh, but when you get there, they can. Not to the full degree, not to the full story that you have to wait till Olam HaBa for. But already the neshama has become enlightened and become in contact with the essence of the mitzvahs that they did. So we have three worlds that we have to deal with. Olam HaZeh, the middle world, we'll call it the Olam HaNeshamas, and Olam HaBa.
Are you shalom by the time you come out of Gehenna?
Not necessarily, but by the time you finished Olam HaZeh and Gehenna, if necessary, and Gan Eden, right, then you're shalom. There are other processes. There are some people who can't make it one time. They send them down for another shipment. It's called a Gilgul. There's other processes. But in the end of the day, after everything is all the processes, the Mishnah has a lot of processes. But at the end, when you're not going to enter Olam HaZeh anymore, you finish with Olam HaZeh, right? Then you're going to get to Olam HaBa through the processing that takes place in the Olam HaNeshamos. What do we have to know all of this for? We have to know all of this for a lot of reasons. It's very interesting.
Just as a person who's a big tzaddik in this world,
yeah,
he's in a certain way better off.
A lot of ways better off. Not a certain way, in almost every way.
But we're all shalom in the end, so what?
That's a concept that we don't want to go into too much right now, but it doesn't say everybody is equal. Olam HaBa. Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek. Now, even though we're talking about infinity and how can you have a chelek of infinity, we have a lot of questions like that, but that's the way it is. Nobody's equal there. Everybody is exactly what they deserve to be. Okay. But the minimum entrance requirements is purity, perfection, excellence, right? Limitless, timeless existence in a world of absolute perfection. Even when you understand that, which is very difficult to understand, so then you come and have to know that. And then there's a whole hierarchy of levels there. We discussed that, I think, that we dealt that on. But we don't deal with that right now. Mm-hmm. It's bad enough what we have to deal with. Okay. Now, this is where, let's take three things. Averis, mitzvahs, and Torah. And we'll see how each one of these relate to each one of these three places. So we'll start the easy ones. Averis, how does this relate to Olam HaBa? It doesn't relate at all. If you're still relating to Averis, you're not getting into Olam HaBa. Right? There aren't any Averis in Olam HaBa. So that's easy. Mitzvahs and Averis. The reality of mitzvahs we discussed is beyond the limitations of this world. However, that was the chiddush of mitzvahs, that they exist in this world. Mitzvahs are called chayei sheol. Mitzvahs are things that you do and you actualize with physical things that grow on trees and goats and stuff like that. Tzitzis, the reality of tzitzis in this world turns into a thing that grows on a sheep. It's this wool thing, you can put it on your peg. And lulav, the mitzvah, this tremendous, right? It's something that grows on a date tree. And I don't know. So it's shayach toivos. But that was schar mitzvah al malach. So he explained. There's b'chol even some, like we said, ambassador. Mitzvahs are in olam hazeh like an ambassador. They don't really belong here, but they're here now for real. Right? They do have a way to be. They exist here, but they exist here as a representative of there. Averis are the opposite. Averis, they're placed mainly where they exist, where they have their source. You can only do averis in olam hazeh. Averis, the reality of avera, is only created in olam hazeh when you were over it. Mitzvahs, the reality, the ruchnius of the mitzvah started before the world was created. The world was created based on Torah and mitzvahs, not Torah and mitzvahs based on the world. But averis, the reality, the ruchnius of reality, don't exist until you do them, until you over them. The chazir is not an aveir. The aveir is eating it. And until somebody who's not allowed to eat it does eat it, the mitzias ruchni of this negative reality, okay, doesn't exist. So aveirs are pure olam hazeh realities. They're realities that are created in olam hazeh. Beyond that, be'etzem in ruchnias, there's no such thing. The essence of reality is not something that we create or we determine. The essence of reality in Ruchni is determined before we were determined. So be'etzem, if a person starts, walks off into nowhere, right, he didn't create a new world. He left reality. So aveira should be leaving reality. There shouldn't be any such reality of an aveira. So the Mishnah comes and tells us both things. Both sides of the story together. On the one hand, that's true in its source, and that's why it's called Oiver Aveir. But it doesn't end there. It would be bad enough if we were Oiver the Aveir, and now we've entered an essence, we've entered an existence of non-existence. That would be bad news. A person would leave the atmosphere, and it'd be in a place where there's no atmosphere. Well, then he'd probably have a very hard time breathing. And that's only physical. But if you left the hay of olam hazeh, you fall out. So you're nowhere. There isn't. So where are you? So then how do you exist? So l'chayra be'etzem, every aveira should be the end. And so the Gemara says that this is true. Aveira is mitzal atzmom, if the Baruch Shem wouldn't have intervened. Just the concept of aveira intrinsically, you must cease to. It's not even dying. It's nothingness. If you leave the world of existence, so then how do you expect to exist? If you've gone over the limits, you've gone beyond where existence exists, so then you don't exist. You don't. But the Rav Shem B'Chasdoi wanted the world to have a key. And he didn't want it to be a one-shot deal. So he created very, very special processes that allows existence after non-existence. But there's a price that has to be paid. It's not a free ride. The Baruch Hu's Mechadesh HaChidush, that they can package all of your non-existence that you created by crossing over the line in a new reality, a reality of non-reality. And this is what the Mishnah calls a kategor. You, as it were, are given a chance to continue existence, and that reality of chet, that reality of non-reality that you made with your oiver the aveira, is packaged in a new reality called a kategor, a malach ro. A bad existence, an anti-existence, that he contains within his essence all of the lack of existence that your acts contained in it. What is it gained by putting it in a separate package? That until he can come in contact with you, you can still live. if they can somehow keep him away from you, right, you're still alive. All of that self-destruction is packaged in a package called a kateger. Now, if he gets to do his thing, then not good. So then he ceases to exist. But since he's been packaged, we have a chance now to deal with him. There are ways. You can get rid of him. You can do tshuva. You can do ma'asim tovim. There are ways that we can deal with him. But the price that was paid is that now Ra has a reality to it. Until now, Ra was only the lack of reality. After you do an invader, and it wasn't immediately, you don't immediately receive the results of your non-existent act, it gets packaged. So now there's a reality for Ra. And reality for Ra, it can start functioning in the world. There are tremendous effects that raw realities can have on the world. And it's dependent on number, and it's dependent on otzma, on the quality, negative quality of these things. And it can come to the point that it can create people that are the expression of your raw, like a Moloch, like Germans, like Arabs. Like, where did all of these... They're evil. Where did the Rebbe Yishon have evil creations? The Rebbe Yishon is kulei toiv. Why are all these bad things walking around in his world? The answer is because as a virus accumulate and clog up the Rebbe Yishon's world, they come back to haunt us in many forms. They become reality, not just theoretical, ruchnistic reality that's hard to see. They can come very, very close. They can come into reality that you can see in Olam Hazeh. Every oinish, every gzeir, every golus was created by Jews. Or by pre-Jews, before, by all the little chatoim of all the dairies, starting from Chet Olam Rishon, then to Afloga, to Astoim, to Oinosh. All of these years, millions of people, millions of maisa, nothing got lost. Nothing. Every evil act done by every person from other region and on causes an effect. One of the hatzolos of the world that came by being boicher by Avraham Avinu and Klai Yisrael afterwards is that from then on a goy has extremely limited effects. And a Jew has extremely big effects. But we have to take on Bimisak in the whole world. Klai Yisrael on its back has to carry the bringing of the tachlis of the world, which is bringing each person individually and the world in general to its tachlis, perfection. So all the evil that whatever it's done, wherever it was, it's all our problem. When a person starts understanding these concepts a little bit, the first thing that he understands is why he understands history a little bit better. Why is Olam Hazeh, Jewish history in particular, it's a very, very difficult story. Ezra Hashem is going to be happily ever after. It's going to have a nice ending. And there were some very nice times in the middle. But the general picture hasn't been that very great. There's been a lot of difficulties. Anytime a person gets down, take out a history book. Right? When you think you have choice, right? Just think of your grandfather. Usually you don't have to go further than that. Right? Just think about the generation. You know, fathers now, most of us, it's grandfathers. Right? What they went through. Oh, you're fooling. You have Gan Eden. What's your problem? Right? Do you know what they went through? Right? And there were other generations. This has been going on for a while. What's all this hurrah about? The answer is that every aver creates a reality. And realities don't go poof. Realities, they're real. They're like real things. And if you don't deal with them, they exist. And if they exist, they do their thing. Right. What does a kategor do? A job of a kategor is to demand punishment. That's his job. The ensis of this creation is he demands that this, as were the limit, the Rabbeinu Shalom saved us. He gave us a time span. He gave us a chance where the chet doesn't immediately bring out a lack of existence to the chayter. But that lack of existence exists. It was packaged in this makatrik. And what does he say? He says, what is every essence in the world has a schus to be teveya. What I am should be. So if the sun has the power to give off light, it has the koyach to actualize that koyach, to give off light. If waves have its, every koyach that there is in the world. So when you create with an aveira an existence of non-existence, an existence of a kategor, that existence demands its due, demands its essence. And its essence is an expression of non-existence. And you can't just say goodbye, forget about it. Let's start a new. How about it, Bunch? Let's start over from scratch. How about, you know, from here on in, things. Huh? Yeah, vadai, that's a good start of tshuva. Right? But these guys, they got to do something with them. And even when a person puts up the beginning of Tshuva, Maisim Toivim, and Chis with Nei Peronius that we have at the end of the Mishnah, if we ever get there. But these guys are still around. And if they're around, they can just create Arafats and all of the sentiments. That can be very unpleasant. What are we going to do? I've been telling bad stories lately. That's a various. How about mitzvahs?
I was wondering, should be about some tranquilizers.
How about some mitzvahs? Well, mitzvahs, mitzvahs, the atzmo. What's more powerful, a mitzvah or aver? What's more powerful? If there would be such an understanding of one mitzvah, a mitzvah equal, parallel to its aver, there is such an understanding. Without giving it labels, we can't give it labels, but the Rabbeinu Shalom can. So there's mitzvah A, whatever it is, that is parallel to aveira A, whatever that is. Okay? Which one's stronger? So the answer is it depends. If you want to talk about terms of essence of ruchnius, what's stronger? Something that is the essence of reality and something that's a pseudo-reality, that's only a reality of non-reality. Well, that's poshut, that emes is always stronger than checker. The or is always stronger than chayshich. So, ma'at me'or, doi chahavi me'achayshich. Good, be'etzim. It's the essence of the reality. Comes from the Rabbeinu Shalom directly. It's his expression directly. Good, toiv, kedusha, mitzvahs, toiv, ruchnius. And aveir, you have to really work hard to figure out how did it ever get into this world? How did it get into existence? What is it, bakhla? But once you understand it, it's like, just kind of squeaked in there to the bottom, just barely has Shekhin La'akalayim. It has just this one little end of the kuf that it wobbles on.
I don't think there's any light in a black hole.
What do you know about black holes? Anybody ever seen them? Black holes. Black hole. Anybody ever seen a black hole? It's a theory. And, you know, since 2 weeks have gone by, since, you know, it's probably been changed. Black holes are full of light. A little light. Get rid of a lot of darkness. Because a little essence, a little toichin. A person is going through a long period of time where he's having difficulty with a child. It's just not working out the way he would want it to go. And then the child has understood, has learned his lesson. It's gotten. It would make it easier than that. A baby. A baby was crying all night long. Intervals of 15 minutes just so you can fall asleep again and wake up again. Earache, toothache, something, one of these things. My stomach, you know, those kind of things. 15 minutes, you go to sleep. By the time you get to around 5:30 in the morning, like.
Perfect for what it's for needs.
Right, then you have all those plans the day that you don't know how in the world you're going to deal with. Right? And you're about ready to do some very weird things. Because you're stretched out. And then the child at 5:30 in the morning finally somehow calms down and falls off to sleep. And then the sleep gives you a smile. Why is he sick? What happened? Is he sick? Look, er schläft malig. He smiled. A little more. One of the rules of winning an argument is to smile and get the other guy to take you serious. So if you die, it's, you have to know how to do it, because if you don't, he thinks you're making fun of him. Then it's worse. Just step out of the argument. You're a good guy. It's all over. You won. Doesn't matter who's going to win afterwards. But then you can break all that tension, all that anger, all that chaos. A little mana loshen, mana rach. It's a pasuk in Mishlei. Mana rach shachet. What? Yoshev chen. A little ore, pile, tons of choshech. So a mitzvah near a little ore, a candlelight. What's in the beer? Choshech. Doesn't stand a chance. Right? So what's stronger? A mitzvah or a beer? Obviously a mitzvah. Right, but there's a problem. Moore says it's not like that. It's based on this mission, actually. That's true, but there's another side to this story also. Aveir mechab mitzvah. Now, what are we talking about? A big, huge, worldwide aveir to some little teeny mitzvah? That's no comparison. Tidal wave aveir compared to just the regular, normal, everyday run of the mill mitzvah? No, come on. We're talking about an aveir. That's equivalent to the mitzvah. And you know who wins the aveira? The aveira is mechaba the mitzvah.
That's what? What's the word?
Mechabe. And there is like a light can be put out. An equivalent to aveira can put out a mitzvah. One second. Where'd that happen? The basic concept is as follows. Who comes first? We're a problem with racism here, right? Who comes first, the locals or the immigrants?
Locals.
I'm not talking about that itself, in a country, and you have the people who are the citizens, you have the foreigners. Who has first rights?
Citizens.
Citizens should come first. That's even a truzach. A ger, even by Klai Yisrael, who were given a mitzvah of a haftamas a ger. Because a ger should know, because society should be based that way, that there's a difference between a ger and a citizen. Moore calls, uses the expression of a paradox when things are totally opposite of what you expected. That the ger is all the way on top, and the citizen is a nobody. It's the opposite way. So obviously, always, that's the way it should be. That where a person is in his natural place, that gives him a bigger koyach. When a person is out of his place, it's not in his real natural place, he's only visiting. So he doesn't have his... So the thing is like this. Averis in this world are citizens. This is where they're created. They have birthright here. This is where we hopefully have their main essence. We can get rid of them here too. To have to stick around Tayyum Rishon, it gets very unpleasant. Much better to get rid of them here. But as long as they do exist, they exist as citizens. Mitzvahs are gear. Hey, the mitzvah tells the various, okay, fine, just wait 70 years. Just wait 70. You beat me up now, wait. Wait till you come to my territory. Skar mitzvah behal malekah. You're chopping me where all my hands are tied behind my back. I can't do my thing here. I can't express my greatness here. So you mechabeoti. Just wait. Your turn will come. But lemaisa the mitzvah is that avarus in this world are natural. And mitzvahs are invaders. And that's why in this world, the central issue that takes the forefront, not necessarily what really counts all the way behind the scenes, but what's going on definitely on the surface, and which is this most powerful surface, mechabe is something that covers over. The ner doesn't cease to exist because the veir puts it out. So you can't see it, can't function. It's covered over. But the issue of Olam Hazeh, the issue of history of Olam Hazeh, is the opportunity to create Olam Haba, and in the meanwhile, dealing with these various guys, handling them, getting rid of them. And that's why Olam Hazeh is not such a place to live to. Because the various in this category, this is their natural habitat. And the Rebbeinu Shlom Bechazdoi allows to the degree that he can, that all these categories that can't gotten rid of the better way through Tshuva and Ma'asim Tovim, if they need to have their say and bring out Ra into the world, it's much preferable that they do it in Olam Hazeh. If we can get through it, if we can be Yotze them, right, through Ra and Olam Hazeh, then we can be left without them for Olam Haba, even for the Olam Neshamas. So this world is a world where Averis, they start off as pseudo-reality, and they end up in Olam Hazeh as Balabayit, as citizens. Once you create these guys, they take over, as long as you're in Olam Hazeh. Now, we are in Olam Hazeh, so we're in a very dangerous world. That's what we're going to see at the end of the mission. What do we do about that? We live in a very dangerous world. Because the chesed Hashem of saving the good for permanence and trying to get rid of the bad and the limited makes this world a very difficult world. If chet exists. And each person will make his own cheshbon if chet exists. Besides the kol yizdik cheshbon of all the chetayim of all the world, but we all have our own cheshbon. So this world, Chet, in Olam Hazeh, is a citizen. In Olam Haba, not only is he not a ger, but he can't get in Bechla. In Olam HaNeshama, he's a ger. If the Kateger somehow made it through Olam Hazeh without getting his due, then he comes to Olam HaNeshama, he says, what's going to be with me? Soon it's going to be Olam Haba, and then I'm going to cease to exist. And for that is the creation of this special thing called Gehenna. Where any category that didn't get its due in Olam Hazeh has a place where it can work its way out to the end. So that there's nothing left by the mobile. All the Averis that didn't make it, all the Averis, all Kategers, that didn't make their claim, weren't paid off. So they have a big bank up there called Gehenna. And then they collect. And once they collect, they cease to exist. Because their whole existence, they aren't. Then you see, when they pay off what they had, what they demanded, then you see their essence, which was a non-essence, and therefore they cease to exist. They only exist in order to claim. As soon as their claim has been met, they're finished. So the emes is, and this is the Emunah Klal Yisrael knows it, knows it also, that every time the Rebbein Shalom hits us, anytime that something goes, Bein Bechal, Bein Befrat, you have to say more of a Toiva Meitiv than you have to say when something goes well. Kaparas Avoynes. But we say it like as a... Nay, Kaparas Avoynes. Chayev Odom Lavorech Al Aroah. It's at least as big a chesed and probably bigger. Even though we understand be'emuna that lasid lovei we will be able to see bechush that it's a toive meitiv, it's all for our good. But in other words, in brocha you have to be mevarach, like we said, it wasn't pleasant. It came over as a raz and einish, so you mevarach. As if it were toiv dain hams. You accept upon yourself there was a tviya, there was a toiveya, and the dayan said, yeah, okay, toiveya, you get your way this time. So we're mevorech besimcha, borech dain hams. And then I'm finished with it. He's gone. He's in his bed. He's out. In a way, Tshuva and Maisim Tovim, as we're soon going to see, not today, but B'cholim, Tshuva and Maisim Tovim is definitely the better way to go. Much more pleasant to do it that way. And then you get scar for the process. You may even get scar for the Veiris afterwards if it's a high enough level of Tshuva. So about the high road, the good road, the very Geshmak way to deal with the Veiris is the Tshuva and Maisim Tovim. But that's not an easy road. It's not so simple to completely succeed that way. But Yisurim are natural. Tshuva and Maisim Tovim are supernatural process. That's difficult to succeed at. Klai Yisrael are pretty good at supernatural things. That's why we can do that too. But Be'etzim, it's going against the rules of nature. Okay. Yisurim, from the littlest to the biggest of the biggest. From the little disappointments to Shoahs and everything in the middle, okay, is the ultimate, powerful, effective eliminator of Kategers. The Dayan HaEmes allows the Kateger to get his way. All of his power of non-existent he brings out on the Eitzim Be'avodim, which could even be this Eitzim HaLavonim. And he's gone. He's gone. You get to him above, forget it. He's long gone. Nobody ever remembers him. Vada, it's much better if you can get to the same results to Tshuva. That's not so easy. The Chiddush of Yisurim is that you don't even need Bechirim. If you merit to be given Yisurim, You don't have to ask for them. If you can say Dayana Emes, if you could recognize this, the Rebbein Shalom handing them out, and the more you understand it, the better effective it is, the more you can get rid of these guys. So the first thing that Mishnah tells us is that you are Oiva Aveira, and then you koyin alay kategei echad. So kategei echad, I think we explained. Koyin alay.
When you said that the mitzvah is mechabe in this world,
yeah,
it's just talking about the chitzoni of the mitzvah, but that aspect that should have been schar in this world.
The effect that mitzvah could and should have had in Olam Hazeh, since it was an ambassador, it didn't really belong here in the first place. How much can it express itself in Olam Hazeh? Only a little bit. The Aveir can overcome it.
Let's just talk about that.
But once the Yisurim comes in, or the Tshuva, get rid of the Aveir, and the Mitzvah comes back to the surface. It was there the whole time. It was just covered over.
But that's not talking about the Tochen of the Mitzvah. That's just talking about the aspect which would have been expressed in this book.
Right. That's Aveiris in Olam Hazeh, in Olam HaNeshamos. And the haftocha b'yidach min yidach is that anybody who goes through the world and survives as a Jew is considered part of the process. He wasn't thrown out completely. As we spoke about, there is such a possibility too. So through Olam Hazeh and Olam HaNeshamos, the Bnei Yisrael makes it his business, through one process or the other, through the ones that we know about, maybe other processes that we don't know about, but until Olam Haba, it's all clean slate. We can enter, Kol Yisrael Yishlam Chelek Olam Haba. What's going to be with the Aveiros? Mainly Olam Hazeh. The remains that can't be, that are too big for Olam Hazeh, Gehenna. And then Kol Yisrael Yishlam Chelek Olam Haba. So that's, Olam Hazeh is main place for Aveiros and Kategoris. Olam HaNeshamos is the washing machine to take care of whatever is left or whatever was too big to deal with in Olam Hazeh. In Olam Haba, they're gone. There's nothing left. Mitzvahs. Okay. So they're ambassadors. They're gear in Olam Hazeh. In Olam HaNeshamos, there are the Neshama. I'll give the following moshul. A person works, was sent on a very difficult project, long term, sent by the king, long way away, and now he has to go through a job, a war, something, with a promise that if he succeeds in his mission, when he comes back, he'll be rewarded. So there are three stages. Stage number one is during the process. During the process that he's going through and succeeding in his mission, it's not time to talk about reward. Even though the melech is keeping track. Oh, he did another stage, he did another job. Every little aspect of what he did to accomplish, it's all kept track. But now you're fighting. We'll talk about rewards another time. Do your job. Then he succeeds. He's finished. Job's over. And he gets a letter from the king that your job is completed. It's time to come home. And now we're going to put you through the processing of preparing you to be qualified for that what you deserve. You left as a simple peasant. And because of what you earned, I'm going to turn you into a tsar. But you can't now just become a tsar. You have to learn. You have to go through a process of refinement, of knowledge, of greatness, so that you can take on that position they want to give you. So now you go through, you receive the reward in theory. You're in contact. You know that you're now going through this process. You are the tsar in potential. But you can't yet practically be the tsar because you still have to go to school and you have to learn and you have to be processed until you're roi to take on that position. So Olam HaNeshamos in terms of Gan Eden is Olam Haba school. When Neshamos learn, as it were, what mitzvahs really are. You know that mitzvah that you did there? You know what that is? That allows you to go to Masifta Derikiyah to find out what that mitzvah is in terms of Olam Haba, to understand it, to be in contact with it, to internalize it, to become it, so that then you can be that tzar in Olam Haba. That's a very nice stage also. It's very pleasant. A person who's going to a tzar school on Melech's terms as reward, best treatment. It's a very pleasant process. But it's nothing to be when he really gets there. So these are the three stages of mitzvahs. Mitzvahs Olam Hazeh, Ger Neichi Be'aretz. Olam HaNeshamas is Olam HaBosku, where you come in contact with the mitzvahs that you created in Olam HaZeh, and now there's a processing of becoming Roy to be. Okay. The final process of Olam HaBo is described as Tzadikim Yoshin V'Tarasein B'Rasein, the crowns, their glory of their accomplishments. You have to grow into those crowns. You can't just take a person for Olam HaZeh and be. That's what Olam HaNeshamas is, an opportunity where you become refined, you grow to take on that stage. What about in Olam HaZeh? What about in Olam HaZeh? When a person's in the middle of the process and he's doing his job, he's done a lot of good things, but there were some problems. And there was some reports coming back from the officers that things weren't so hotsy-totsy. And here there was a day that he didn't show up, and there was this. He was lazy, and he was helping the enemy, and there were some problems. There's these kategors around. So, schar, oilam abo, oilam neshamis. But in oilam hazeh, you get a proklit. A proklit is a defense attorney. Proklit is a person who can be melitz yoshe. He comes and he says, "Yeah, but." The basic, every statement of a proklit starts, "Yeah, but." Yeah, but. You're right. He did. But he's your friend. Look what good work he's doing. Need him. He's a good chayal. It's worth it. Give him a chance. Yeah, but. The kateger, that is the essence of the aveir. The proklet is not the essence of the mitzvah. It's an ambassador of the mitzvah. Really, mitzvah is by al malecha. But the cholikin didn't leave you high and dry. You did the mitzvahs. You're kind of like praklet. There's intentfully not giving a balance between sanegir and kateger. Because we're not really dealing on the same levels of reality of bechlal. The terms of oilam hazeh, the kateger is the essence of the aveir. That's real reality in terms of oilam hazeh. And the proklet is just a friend coming in behind the scenes, putting in a good word, catching the king or the judge as he's walking into the court. He says, "Yeah, but remember and think, and he's my friend, he's your friend, he's grandfather's friend, and he did this good thing, he did that good thing, and look at his potential." Yeah, but not properly. This mahalach is going based on what Rosh Hashanah explained, that a proklet is less than a sanega. Because in terms of Olam HaZeh, the mitzvahs don't get a sanega. That's Olam HaBo, you'll get your sanega. When you get to Olam HaNeshamas, then the mitzvah comes in full glory. It's just, that's me. That neshama, that's me. Okay. He's got to become me. He's got to become Roy to be the Bailam of me, the mitzvah says. So we send him to mitzvah school. Sifted Reiki and Gan Eden, so he can become the carrier of these crowns. That's a sanhedrin. But in Olam HaZeh, just a proklet. Yeah, but the issue, it's really all on his side. We're talking about the oinshin. It's all big oinish, less oinish. Immediate oinish tomorrow, maybe yes, maybe you can get away with a warning this time. Yeah. It's all dealing with the punishment. The kateger is doing his thing. The proklet is saying, yeah, but. The Sanhedrin doesn't say don't give him an oinish. The Sanhedrin says give him a reward. Just like the kateger comes and says give him an oinish, the Sanhedrin says give him a reward. We don't waste Sanhedrin's on oinish. that mitzvahs are sanegah surely are. They're so powerful in Olam Haba that sometimes there's a little spillover that comes down in Olam Hazeh too. And that spillover is called a proclit. It's like the big lawyer has this helper that takes care of some of that small change, paperwork. The mitzvah, the essence of mitzvah is Olam Haba, Olam HaNeshama, that's where he does this thing. What about Olam Hazeh? This is proclit who sees what he can do about working things out in Olam Hazeh also to the best way. When you get to big questions, so the Rishonim, hold on, what's going on? In a few minutes.
How did Maisim Tovim work?
We didn't get, who's talking about Maisim Tovim? That's the end of the Mishnah. That's a long way, that's the end of the Mishnah.
At least
far. All right, let's see just if we can sum up. I want to explain one more concept, koine. What koine like? If you created it, why are you being koine? That's a steer. Something I create, I don't have to become mine by acquiring it. It's mine because I made it. I don't have to acquire my children. I don't have to koine my children. They're mine. They relate to me because I'm part of their creation. If I produce something, it's not mine because I'm koine. You don't have to be koine the fruits of your tree. They're yours because they were produced by you. So, first, we were saying that it's a metzius that comes out of your maisim. And then we say koine. Koine means acquire. Koine means that you're taking over possession, meaning something that existed outside of you, and you're like, I'm koine your sweater. Right? Something that you brought into existence, you manufactured. So, if you manufacture sweaters and I manufacture eggs, so you'll be koine eggs and I'll be koine sweaters. What does it mean, koine? What does it mean, koine? If we noticed, if I myself followed what I've been talking about for the last whatever amount of time we've been talking, we realized that things are both in terms of the proclit and in terms of the kategor, both things are not their natural state. This is what Klein is pointing out. The truth of the matter, what I created, the essence of the directly my creation, my maisa, was non-existence. I didn't create a kategor. I was oivan aveira. I stepped out of the world. So my direct maisa should have created non-existence, that I should have gone poof. And the Rabbi Yishalom stuck his hand in there, took away our reaction, and says, here, take this instead. Okay, we'll take that, package it up, and you created tomatoes, I'll take away the tomatoes and give you a grapefruit. Rotten grapefruit. Okay, take it. You created non-existence, you're koina kategor. Now, so they're both true. You really created him, but you were koina him, because that's not really what you were created. The Vayishim created it for you in lieu of what you should have. That's koina. And the same thing, you're koina la praklit. You didn't create a praklit, you created a mitzvah. You created a tarsein bereshein, you created Olam Haba. Right? They throw in a proclit too. You created that, you get this. That's all I get? Yeah, no, Olam Hazeh, that's all you get. Yeah. You kind of, that's not my mitzvah. No, it isn't. Nobody ever said it was. Mitzvah, there. What's this guy? That's a proclit. He's good too. Right? It's nice to keep him around. How powerful are these guys? These proclit things. Aveir mechab mitzvah. He's an outside, he's a gear. It's not like his natural habitat. He's coming down from mitzvah land, down to Olam Hazeh. How powerful are these fellows? So, Chesed Hashem is lo ilam ad olam, mo ilam abo ad olam azeh, Chesed Hashem. Ma'ad olam ad olam. And in the Rabbi Shalom's court, there's very interesting things that go on. They all, the Rishonim bring the pasuk over here. Metzosi meilitz echot, meilitz yoshe echot. What's the pasuk? He said in the Yom Nerim Davni. Let's see if I can find it right here quickly. Yeshalav meilitz yoshe echot. Mini Elif, yeah. It's then we read as Shachas. Amarti Matsosi Koifa. Berch. One out of a thousand does it.
One out of a thousand?
One out of a thousand can do it. You have a thousand of these categories lined up. And they're ready to pounce. And like this little guy comes and pulls on the Melech's ear. He says, yeah, but. Ah, yeah, but okay, then it's different. You want to see it? I'll prove it to you. The Elif, take out your newspaper, take out your daily life, take out your history book, and you can see the categories and what they've done. You want to see the proclet? Look at me, yeah, I'm here. I, you, all of us, have been 2,000 years of the Kategia and we're alive and kicking. We won. How do we make it? They tried everything. They burnt us. They killed us. They went to. They tried everything. The Goyim and all of the Ra, all the different forces of Ra that exist. They burned it. They gashed it. Whatever they could, whatever they can't be thought of, they did. And we're here. How do we make it? How do we still exist? How are we alive and kicking? How are we still existing? And physically and in Ruchnis. Ruchni is even bigger. How do we make it? Prophet. Echad mini elef.
How do you know it wasn't Yisraim or it wasn't Gehenna?
I
know that it was the Kolach, the prophet, that saved us. Maybe it was the Kolach.
Because we know them as there.
Yisraim and Yisraim.
Yeah, that's all true. Or but why? That there were elef around, that we saw from the results. Right? The Shoah tells us that the Gezeirah is pretty bad news. Right. And Be'etzem, there are a lot of people, both Goyim and Yidden, who really believed that it's over. Remember, Gift tells a beautiful story. He says that one of the Rosh Hashivas tells when they made it to the New York, made it into America during the war. Needed a safer, Ksoi Sokhoishin. Until he found this farm store. Found this farm store. This is, what do you want? Success equation. I don't know if we have any of those left anymore, but one second. I think somewhere in the back shelf, I think. And he went back there and comes in, dusts this off. He says, Rabbi, take it free. It's the last one that ever will be. Here it is, last success equation. I don't know where Ve'eli Me'abloch was. Where these people get this unbelievable. He got a mistake. He says, in 10 years from now, there will be more Ksoi Sechoshins in this city than ever existed in the whole world together. It's the end. We're just beginning. Watch it. You haven't seen nothing yet. Ksois. There's going to be more Shasin and more Ksois. Printed and learned in New York, and then the word of all of Europe together. And that happened. Wow. But it's over. I mean, it wasn't. Don't you see it's over? There's a prophet. Made it to the Red of Shachas, to the end, Yush. No, Yush. We win it. In the end, we always, as bad as it gets, you always win in the end. What clear do we always win? Why do we always come out on top? It's one of the things that drives the going crazy. We always win in the end. Somehow we always win in the end. There's a prachal echo in the other. One out of a thousand. But Melech, he's one of ours. Oh, that's the prachal. So we're cleaning up prachli. We're cleaning up prachli. Don't take them lightly. That's what we survive on. If a person recognizes, what are we trying to learn now? This all is, I don't know, we learn a lot of things. Right? A lot, really a lot. But if a person, he gets a different, take avarice a little more seriously, take your mitzvahs a little bit more seriously. Don't get so, when something doesn't go right, why are you so surprised? You don't have any avarice? There aren't any caretakers around, they're all gone. But when things work out in the end, when you can keep going, it's not over. It was bad, it hurt. But we pick up and we come. Let's push it. But we have mitzvahs too. And this is all 70 years. It's all just like one there. Then it turns around, everything turns around. So Agid goes through this world, as David HaMelech said, when he was sitting with a crown on his head, Melech of all Klai Yisrael, Ger Anochi Boaz. He was not the citizen, he was the Melech. Ger Anochi Boaz. This is not my territory. This is just a thing I have to get through. Right? Just 7 years, goodbye. There I go. Take everything, take it. You can take it a lot easier. Take everything in stride, the good and the bad. Don't get the good to your head. And don't take over, you can't be anxious from the bad. There's nothing. When things are going too well, when you think that you own Olam Hazeh, you became an Ezrach here, Koinulai Katega. He's there. You'll hear from him. He's naturally here. Things are going bad. You think you can't. It's not shayach. You can't continue. It won't work. Never give up. We always continue. We always make it in the end. But it's difficult to process. That's also a chesed. Whatever I can get, the more difficult that I get through an olam hazeh, the more I know I got rid of it and I finished with it. I finished with it. Do you know how much ra we got rid of already? We're finished with Mitzrayim. We're finished with Bavel. We're finished with Parson Morai. We're finished with Yavan. There's just this fellow Edom left. And we're finished with most of him too. He's really getting tired. He tried everything. He's almost down to the last. And when we finish with him, there won't be nothing left. Now, the last stage is he's making his last efforts. He's putting it all out. Sit back. Take it easy. It might make it too easy. But we're going to make that too. Prakle echad min yalef. Koinu loy prakle echad. So that's kategim prakle echad. Okay. Achayim. Achayim.